What's up and welcome back to the Locked On Bucks podcast. I'm James Yarko, joined as usual by David Harrison. You can find everything that we're doing over at BucksNation.com and make sure you follow along on Twitter at Locked On Bucks, at JYarko underscore Bucks, and at DH82 underscore Bucks. We are getting ready to talk some Bucks Bears, and we have a couple of listener questions that want to have some things addressed before this game gets started, but David, I don't know if you had a chance to hear the Crossover Wednesday episode. It dropped a little bit later on Wednesday. It came out at noon rather than midnight, so some people may still be catching up. If you haven't heard it yet, I suggest you go back and listen. It was myself and the Locked On Bears host Lauren Cox, who also writes for the Bears Wire and is a Pro Football Focus analyst. But we had a fun little conversation, and I'll tell you what, I'm feeling a little bit more confident about this game after my conversation with Lauren than I was beforehand.
Yeah, it's an easy win. You should feel confident.
Whoa, let's calm down with the easy win stuff. There's no such thing as an easy win. Tell that, you know, to the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, you're lying. I haven't listened to it yet. It's queued up for my gym time in the morning.
Yeah, one of the things that he pointed out that I found to be kind of interesting, and I don't know if you've had time to dive into any film study of the Bears at all, but anything intermediate or long as far as passing plays are concerned, Trubisky's going to the right side every time. If it's like,
that's interesting.
Yeah, if it's like a short, you know, curl route or an out route or something quick, he'll go to the left, but he's apparently not comfortable going to the left on those intermediate to long passes. The curl route is his favorite route, which to me says this is a quarterback that is not booming with confidence at this moment in his career. I think he has the tools and the talent to become a Andy Dalton type quarterback as far as his ceiling is concerned. But Andy Dalton is a serviceable quarterback. He's, you know, I would say middle of the row, pretty average, but, you know, he can win you games. He can win you divisions. I just don't think he's developed to that yet. But I found it real interesting that anything longer than about 6 to 8 yards and Trubisky's going to throw to the right. So it kind of makes me wonder if Mike Smith is going to leave Brent Grimes over on the left side of the defense the whole game, or if he's going to trust Carlton Davis after Grimes looked a little rusty and a little shaky on Monday night.
Yeah, maybe we can get some Ryan Smith out there.
Yeah, that would be nice. You know, I don't know if it would be nice or not. Bucks fans' favorite punching bag is on the IR, so they're gonna tee off on Ryan Smith for a while now, despite how well Ryan Smith has played in the regular season. He looked bad in the preseason, but in the regular season, he's been great. I've liked him a lot. He didn't get any opportunities Monday, which I didn't understand.
Yeah, a little confusing. You're talking about the right side of the defense or the right side of the offense that he likes to throw to?
The right side of the offense, so the left side of the defense.
Yeah, so that means Jordan Whitehead should get some opportunities, right?
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what he can do in Chris Conte's place. I mean, I'm sure Chris is – I don't know if Chris is really all that intense about playing former teams like Deshaun is, but, you know, he did pretty well, I think, the last time I remember seeing him play the Bears. So it would be nice to have him out there. Yeah, exactly. So it'd be nice to have him out there, but, I mean, it'll be interesting to see Jordan get out there and get some opportunities, and maybe Isaiah Johnson, depending on if he has woken up from the truck that he ran into. Yeah. It'll be fun to see.
Now, David, before we get to some of the questions that were sent in, have you? I know you're a busy guy. You've been busy with work, and welcome back from vacation, buddy.
Yeah,
dealing with what the rest of us have been dealing with, Mr. 2 weeks off. Have you had a chance to see what the line is on this game?
I saw something earlier that the Bucks are underdogs for some reason
for the fourth week in a row.
Yeah.
The Bears are -3 and there's an over under of 46.5.
It's craziness.
Now, I don't know about you, but I'm hammering the Bucks with the 3 points, and I'm hammering the over because the Bears secondary is not good. They are ranked 28th in pass defense. Their run defense is stout, but their secondary is they are 11th in pass defense. I was looking at their offensive stat where they're 28th. But they're giving up 223.7 yards per game in the air, plus 3 turnover differential. And you have to think that's the Khalil Mack factor. Yeah. That dude is just absolutely on a tear. They have the 8th scoring defense at 18.3 points per game, but the Bucks, they're the number 1 passing offense, the number 3 total offense. You know, they're averaging 34 points per game, and they're 3-point underdogs.
No, so, I definitely think that the Buccaneers offense is going to be able to take advantage of the Bears. I know Khalil Mack is out there and he's really, really good, right? But Khalil Mack can't be everywhere. And just like the other defenses they face, the Bucs have a lot of weapons, and you know they can get some matchups, and hopefully they'll be able to exploit them.
Yeah, Khalil Mack begs to differ because he believes that he can be everywhere, and he has been everywhere, including permanent resident in the back of John Gruden's brain. Mister comes out after every game. Oh, it's hard to find a pass rusher. Good dirt. Yeah.
Oh, it is. If only Coach had an opportunity to have an elite pass rusher, he'd have it all figured out.
Yeah, well, you know, he's probably going to be unemployed before too long, and he's going to have to invest some of that $100 million by heading over to our good friends at MyBookie. Because I'll tell you what, David, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with, and that's why we always tell people to bet with MyBookie. Trust me, they are your best bet this season. They've been in business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is insanely easy to use. David and I would only recommend a service to our listeners that have been good to us, and that's why we urge everyone to make their way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. They have in-game live betting, over-unders on fantasy points scored, and the most rewarding player perks in the business. Right now, MyBookie is slammed with new bettors, and they want to give everyone the best possible customer service that they can. So if you're willing to wait and deposit after 7 p.m. Eastern time, they will give you an additional $25 free play on deposits over $100. On top of that, they're also going to match your deposit dollar for dollar. All you have to do is use promo code LOCKEDON25 to activate this offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use promo code LOCKEDON25, LOCKEDON, number 5, when creating your account to claim your free $25 free play on deposits over $100 and to claim your dollar for dollar bonus. You play, you win, you get paid. David, why don't we go ahead and get to some of these listener questions?
Sounds good. The first one we got is from Josh, who is from Georgia.
Josh, what's up, Josh?
What's up, guys? Love the podcast. This is Josh from Georgia. Quick question. If our line stays healthy, if our defense as a whole stays healthy, what do you feel that our defense will end up at the end of the year as far as sacks goes? Thanks, guys, for everything. Love the podcast. Keep on going.
All right. Well, if the Bucs defensive line gets healthy, I feel fine about the sacks. I mean, is it the pass rush that everybody wants or everybody envisions? No, but we've been saying this for a few weeks now. It takes time for this unit to gel. It's not an overnight thing. You cannot become this cohesive, dominant unit in the few weeks of OTAs and training camp. It takes time. And this defensive line, we have yet to see it healthy at all the entire season because Vita Vea is still out. He was limited in practice again on Wednesday. And I know people are freaking out. Everybody just relax. Just calm down. You have a literal mammoth of a human being on a strained calf. If you push him too hard too soon, it will be re-aggravated, re-injured, and you're going to lose him for even more time. Let them do their thing. It's not going to be the end of the world if Vita Vea misses the Bears game, also gets the bye week, and then can return against Atlanta. It's not a big deal. but you still have Bo Allen out. He did not participate in practice on Wednesday with the foot injury. So we haven't seen this defensive line healthy at any point this season, and they're still doing fine. They had 3 sacks on Roethlisberger on Monday night. Jason Pierre-Paul was responsible for 2 of those. He's starting to get in a rhythm now. So the pass rush is fine. It's you can see the improvement week by week. They're getting to the quarterback. They're accumulating sacks, and it can't get any worse than it was last year. So yeah, I have absolutely no issue with the defensive line, and I think as they get healthier, they're only going to get stronger and they're only going to get better.
Yeah, I'm on the same page there. We really haven't seen the Buccaneers defensive line actually fully healthy yet this year, and they're already well on their way to completely eclipsing their sack total from last year, which is, you know, honestly was fairly easy to do. But I think it reflects well on Jason Light's pursuit of defensive line help over the offseason, and, you know, kind of shows why he decided to draft a defense tackle over, you know, a safety or running back with their first pick. Because I think that there's a lot of credit that should go to the entire defense, right? But specifically the defensive line for the second half of the Monday night game, and helped lead to the Steelers not being able to put up any points. Granted, you know, not to rehash too much of it, but I know, you know, at the end of the game when Gerald McCoy kind of had Ben Roethlisberger in his grips, so to speak, he wasn't able to bring him down. Got it. But bottom line is, a team that put 30 points up in the first half put up 0 in the second half. So that definitely shows a marked improvement, and the defensive line had a good contribution in that effort. So I'm not worried about the defensive line. I feel good about the amount of sacks that this team is going to get. And I feel like when Vita Vea does come in, I feel like when Bo Allen gets healthy, it's just going to get better. And honestly, from what we're seeing already, Lord help the NFC South if Noah Spence ever gets everything figured out with this group that he's playing with.
Spoiler alert, he won't.
You might be right.
I like Noah Spence a lot, and I was real excited for that pick, but he just is not. There's something that's not clicking there. He is just not playing well.
Yeah. So our next caller is Alex from San Jose.
Alex.
Hey, James. Hey, David. Thanks for taking my previous calls. This is Alex, Tampa Bay fan from San Jose. Twitter handle at Dan the Malformed. I just wanted to know kind of your thoughts on the running back situation. I know that in the last episode, you kind of had some voicemails directed at that, but I'm kind of more specifically gearing towards Rojo. I know that last year we had the whole Jeremy McNichols kind of situation go down, and, you know, he went to the 49ers practice squad and didn't really work out. I'm just really wondering kind of, is that the same thing that's happening with Rojo? I mean, we picked him in the second round. There's still, you know, other running backs like Darius Geis, you know, I think Sony Michel is still on the board, and, you know, players like that. And I'm just wondering, you know, can we expect Rojo to kind of, you know, gain some momentum, crack the rotation and get playing, or is, you know, it's just going to be another Bucks kind of failed running back experiment? Thanks for taking my call, and go Bucks.
Hey boys, it's Tyler from Boston. Just wanted to ask you a quick question. I know we were talking about the run game and how we need to shake it up a little bit, get something else going. Wanted to know, when do you guys think that Ronald Jones could be activated? How are we going to use him, and what's that backfield going to look like with him in it, with him, Barber, and Quiz? Thanks, guys.
Tyler, he got a shout out, or I needed to give him a shout out because Alex got one before the voicemails. Tyler, you get yours after the voicemails because David did not warn me there was going to be 2 in a row. So first things first, Alex.
My bad, Tyler.
Yeah, darn right. You're bad, Tyler. Not Tyler, but you get it. You get it. But yeah, first things first, Alex, Sony Michel was not on the board when the Bucs drafted Ronald Jones. He had already been selected by the Patriots. But yeah, if you were following with me on Twitter during draft night, I kept tweeting out over and over and over Darius Geis no matter what. Now, of course, then there were the off-field concerns and rumors and all this stuff circulating about Geis at the time made teams a little gun-shy. But, you know, we're – we're living in a world where the Buccaneers drafted Ronald Jones. That's who they took. That's who they have. Same thing with the Vea and the Derwin James stuff. We live in a world where Vita Vea is a Buccaneer. Derwin James is not. So no more second guessing the draft. It's already over. It's already done. You have the parts and the pieces from the draft on the team. No, this is nothing like Jeremy McNichols at all. Not even a little bit, not even close. McNichols couldn't even crack the initial 53-man roster. He wouldn't join the practice squad. He went to the 49ers practice squad. He got cut there. He joined the Indianapolis Colts practice squad. He got cut there. He does not get it. With Ronald Jones, I think there's a steep learning curve, and he hasn't quite been prepared. With the way Fitzpatrick has been playing, been airing it out, you don't want to put Ronald Jones back there and trust him to have any kind of pass protection whatsoever. Peyton Barber, Jacquizz Rodgers, they've been crushing it in pass protection. They've been doing a great job. Now, I do think we're going to see Ronald Jones activated to the game day roster sooner rather than later. Could be week four against the Bears. I'm going to lean a little bit closer to the no side of that for the exact reason I just said, the pass protection. You are going to have to help out with Khalil Mack, you know, coming off that edge. Plain period, end of discussion. You're going to have help. You're going to have running backs in the backfield that can help block. And you don't want to tip your hand like you did with Charles Sims. If you see Jacquizz Rodgers in the game, it's looking more and more like it's going to be a pass play. If Ronald Jones is on the field, the Bears are going to know they're running the ball because he can't pass protect. So it's going to happen sooner rather than later. And I think once he gets on the field and he's in that rotation with Peyton, with Jacquizz, with Sean Wilson, who has played well, you know, not so great on kick returns, but kick returns are a fickle thing anymore with the crazy rules and the bumped up kick line and all that nonsense. But Ronald Jones is going to bring something that the other guys can't provide, and that's that explosiveness. That's that ability to find a crease and get to the second level and go 100 miles an hour and have a game-breaking play. That's what he provides. It's a matter of necessity as to whether or not they're activating him. They've needed additional guys to be in the rotation along the defensive line with these injuries. They've needed additional guys in the secondary with these injuries. They've needed guys that participate on special teams because of these injuries. That's why he's been inactive. So once he is active, I think he provides some explosiveness, and he's going to help that rotation. He's going to help out Peyton Barber, be that change of pace guy. Barber's a bruiser. You know, let Barber go and earn those tough 2, 3, 4 yards, run into those linebackers, wear them down a little bit, then hit them with Ronald Jones' explosive speed. You know, that's the ultimate goal. That's what you want to see. Like David and I talked about over and over and over, it's that Kamara Ingram dynamic. It's going to happen. It's not happening as soon as we all would have liked, but it's coming. So no fears. So yeah, and Tyler, I think I answered your question while I was going off on that rant about how it's going to look once he is active and he's in there with Quiz and Barber and Wilson. Yeah, it's a look that we're all looking forward to seeing. It's a dynamic we're all looking forward to seeing. It hasn't happened as quickly as we would have liked, but it is coming. And really, by and large, as bad as the run offense has been, they haven't needed it because Fitzpatrick is just, you know, firing missiles out of his arm to DeSean Jackson and Mike Evans, the first wide receiver tandem in NFL history to have over 300 yards and 3 touchdowns each in the first 3 games. So, you know, I'm not stressing it too much right now. There will come a time that they are going to need it, and they're going to need it desperately. But right now, it's not panic time on Ronald Jones at all. Nothing like McNichols. Yeah, it'll be all right.
I completely agree. There's no reason to rush Rojo into action when the team has so many needs in other locations to try to keep this thing going. And the team has been successful so far. Even in the loss, the team looked good for the majority of the time. So, you know, I'm not worried about Rojo at all. It's definitely not a McNichols situation because it turns out that Jeremy McNichols, I don't know why I can't say his name right, is basically football illiterate when it comes to reading playbooks and diagnosing on the field. So I don't think that's the situation with Rojo at all. I think, like James said, it's got a lot to do with injuries at other positions. special teams contributions and pass blocking. You know, so it's just kind of one of those circumstantial things. And like I said, I pretty much agree with everything that James said. So the only thing I'm really going to add to this conversation is I would like to throw Ronald Jones a little bit of props, because this is a very young guy who came out of a very prestigious college, was very highly touted coming into the draft. Granted, he was, what, the fifth running back off the board, but still a high second round draft pick. A lot of people expecting early play, early snaps and all that. And this dude's Twitter is about as quiet as it can get. There's no complaining coming from him. We're not hearing any rumors or murmurs about him, you know, being angry in the locker room or, you know, pouting on the practice field. He's not tweeting any subtweets about, you know, oh man, I could have got that first down or any crazy crap. So, you know, I don't know, some props for that. I think this shows that this is a young man who's not to steal the 76ers, you know, term or whatever, but down for the process. I think he understands where he's at on this roster. I think he probably feels comfortable with what he and the team are working on. And yeah, I mean, if anything, he's showing that he's a professional, which unfortunately sometimes is pretty rare in the league. So yeah, just something I kind of thought of while you were talking.
Well, everybody knows my affinity for Pat McAfee, and something that he always says is be who you can afford to be. Le'Veon Bell is out there doing what he's doing because he can afford to do that. He's going to get the contract to make up for what is going on right now. A second round running back draft pick in his rookie season cannot afford to be running his mouth or talking at all when he's not on the field, because he could be cut with absolutely no second thought whatsoever. So yeah, just kind of echo your sentiment. But you know, I do like the fact that he's being quiet, because there are people that come into the league with those egos, Ezekiel Elliott. But he is, you know, being who he can afford to be. And yes, I'm going to take a shot at your obnoxious former Buckeye. Oh, he's the worst. This stupid spoon thing after every, oh God, get out of here. He's as bad as Cam Newton.
Wow.
Yeah,
there's a lot of hatred there coming out of you tonight.
Oof. I told you I'm tired. I get cranky.
Yeah.
Is there anything dumber besides Cam Newton's stupid little point on the first down thing? Is there anything dumber than Ezekiel Elliott doing the spoon thing after every run? He could get a 1 yard gain on second and 17, and he'll do that stupid spoon thing. Am I wrong?
I mean, I don't know. You're not wrong, but I don't really have any emotional response to him doing that one way or the other.
It's one of those things that it's like, dude, just knock it off. I understand, you know, you get excited, you get pumped up over a big play, but every single one. It's one of the reasons I hate Ohio State so much. That stupid band.
Oh wow.
Our quarterback got sacked for a 17-yard loss. Play the fight song. Oh, every
play. That's definitely not what happens. Stupid
fight song.
That's definitely not what happens. 100%. Wow.
It's what happens.
Does Illinois even have a fight song?
Probably not, because they're terrible.
The Ballad of Lovie Smith is their fight song.
Self-proclaimed best band in the land. Get out of here with that. LSU's band is better.
They earned it.
They didn't earn it. Did LSU
have a band?
Did you not see the video of them doing the theme song to The Office while spelling out the words The Office? Best band
in the country. No, that's impressive. I mean, it's not like they replicated the King of Pop doing the moonwalk or anything.
Oh, get out of here with your stupid tuba dotting the I. Jesus criminy. Awful. Any college that has to put the word the in front of their name is the worst.
First of all, it's the.
Even more pretentious and awful. We're not Ohio State University. We're the Ohio State. Like you're the only college in Ohio.
So welcome back to the Locked On Books podcast.
So, David, do we have any more voicemails?
We do have some voicemails, but we're going to save them for our Chicago Bears preview, I think.
So not part two of James hates on the Buckeyes and former Buckeyes.
No, preferably not. But we have to probably tell everybody who that guest is.
Yes, we will be on Friday's show when we preview the Bears and Bucks. We will be featuring none other than our buddy Gene from the Buck What You Heard podcast and YouTube show, and you know him, you love him. You know, if you listen to us, there's a 99% chance you also listen to Gene. He's fantastic. Looking forward to finally getting him on the show. We've been on his a couple of times. So it should be a fun preview episode. Until then, make sure you're checking out everything going on over at BucksNation.com. Make sure you follow along on Twitter at LockedOnBucks, at JYarko_Bucks, and at DH82_Bucks. Leave us your voicemails. Get entered in to win that Quan Alexander jersey, even if you just want to leave a voicemail to echo my sentiments on how awful Ohio State and their band is. You can do that, and it will be played on the air. I will make sure of it, even though David does the editing. All you have to do is call 813-444-5841, and, you know, you tell us who you think the best college marching band is, because it's not Ohio State.
It'll be deleted immediately.
All right. We would like to thank each and every one of you for joining us right here at Locked On Bucks.
My bills are all due, and the baby needs shoes, and I'm busted.
Great. Sounds pretty, yeah, let's start over.
A big stack of bills that gets bigger each day. The county's gonna haul my belongings away, 'cause I'm busted. I went to my brother to ask for a loan, 'cause I was busted. Like a dog without his bone, but I'm busted.
Ohio State, best band in the land. Play the fight song.